Hello friends, Denny Pruto here to talk a little bit about sickness, disease, illness, and pain. I'm not interested in the scientific explanations for these things, nor am I interested in the medical explanation for these things. I'm really interested in the Bible's perspective on sickness and illness and pain. What does the Bible have to say about these things? That's the question. And what is the root difficulty? What's the root problem producing sickness and illness and pain? The Bible has something to say about this. And then, of course, a final question we can answer and we can address is, should we pray that people would be healed? Should we pray that God would heal people and bring them out of their disease and sickness and illness and pain? Well, let's look at the Bible and see what it has to say. We begin with Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 4 and 5. Listen to what the New American Standard Version says. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. We ourselves esteemed him smitten, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. The beginning of verse 4 reads this way, according to the marginal notes in the New American Standard Version. Surely our sickness he himself bore, and our pains he carried. Of course, the ideas of sickness and pain come in the context of sin. Verse 5 begins, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. In other words, Isaiah says that there's a relationship between our sickness and our pains and our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities. And surely this is the case. The wages of sin is death. And what is sickness or illness or disease? Sickness or illness or disease is incipient death. That is, when we become ill or we are stricken with some disease, death is beginning to show its ugly face. Disease is incipient death. That's the meaning of the word incipient. And so there is a relationship between disease and death and sin. Again, the wages of sin is death. We're not saying that there's a direct relationship, a one-to-one relationship between a particular disease, a particular difficulty, and a particular sin. No, the situation is that we all live in a fallen, sinful world, and we are fallen, sinful beings. In the beginning, Adam sinned, and in Adam all died. We all sinned in Adam, and we all died in him. And because this is the case, we are subject to death, and we are subject to all manner of illness and disease. Disease and illness stems from the fact that we live in a fallen, sinful world. And the end of verse 5 in Isaiah 53 says, by his scourging, we are healed. And the term healed here is on, we can look at it on two different levels. On the first level, we are healed in our souls. That is, we are cleansed from sin. At the beginning of verse 5 says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. In other words, he took the consequences of our sins upon himself. Jesus Christ not only took our sins upon him, that is, our sins were placed upon him, and his righteousness in return was placed upon us, but the consequences for our sins were placed upon him. The awful wrath of God for sin fell upon him. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ did undergo the pain and misery of death. The wages of sin is death. And so the consequences of sin came upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely our griefs or our sickness he bore, the consequences of our sin, and our pains he carried, and by his scourging we are healed. So there are two levels of healing here. Once again, there's a level of healing in which the consequences of our sin are removed, and we are cleansed from guilt and sin in our hearts and in the depths of our souls. But in addition, we, in the end and ultimately, praise be to God, receive physical healing. And we'll speak more about that in a moment. But the idea here to grasp is that sin and disease, sinfulness and illness are tied together. And I say the root idea here is that illness or disease is incipient death. Now, Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 are quoted in the New Testament. And I want to take a look at how Jesus is quoted or is referred to with regard to Isaiah 53 in Matthew chapter 8. And then we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2. First of all, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and following. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. Imagine this now. Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed sick with a fever, and Jesus, it says, simply touched her hand, and the illness fled. Jesus, the great physician, the great healer. Verse 16, when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. You see, this is Isaiah 53 and verse 4. And how the New Testament quotes this is in line with the margin of the New American Standard Version, that he carried our sicknesses and bore our pains. Jesus healed the sick in fulfillment of this prophetic word in Isaiah chapter 53. So we take it here that there's an emphasis in the Bible of Jesus Christ healing our physical infirmities and healing our physical diseases and healing our illnesses. This is an aspect of his work, and it's tied to his work on the cross, that he himself bore the consequences of sin. And so I say again, there's a relationship between sin and illness, and the relationship is this. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and we are fallen creatures. And we bear the marks of sin in our souls and in our bodies. We have guilt for sin, and disease and illness comes upon us. These are the consequences of sin. But Jesus, because of his atoning work, is able to heal our diseases and take away our pain. So this is one level of healing, the healing of the physical body. Now, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body. You see, here again is a reference to Christ's atonement, Christ's work on the cross. He bears our sins, and he bears the consequences of our sins in his own body on the cross. And why does he do this? So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. This is one aspect of the reason for the incarnation and the atonement. So that we, because of Christ's death, might die to sin, that we might more and more put away sin in our lives and live to righteousness, live in accordance with the Word of God, more and more become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as adopted children, we are to reflect His image. And then the text says, "For by His wounds you were healed." You see, here's a direct reference to Isaiah 53:5. By his stripes you were healed. Well, in the context of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the emphasis is upon our spiritual healing. While in Matthew 8, the emphasis is on the physical side of healing, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the emphasis is upon our spiritual healing. In other words, we are healed in our souls. We are born again. We are given new life. We are made new creatures in Christ so that we could, in turn, put away sin in our lives and live more and more in accordance with the Word of God. So there's a connection, you see, given to us in the Bible between sin and disease and illness, and healing of our mortal bodies and the healing of our immortal souls. There's a connection between these things. It's quite clear that this is the case in the Bible. So, what happens to us? When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, our souls are healed. We are cleansed from the guilt of sin, and we are enabled more and more to live for righteousness and to put away sin in our lives. And ultimately, what will take place is that these mortal bodies will be healed. When Christ comes a second time in glory, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. Ultimately, this is the case. This is the will of God for us. And in the interim, there are occasions in which God will give us tokens of that which will take place in the future by healing our mortal bodies in this present life. What a wonderful thing this is. Let's confirm what we're talking about here by going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 50 and following. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 50 and following. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Yes, the last enemy is death. And death is the separation, as an event, death is the separation of the body and spirit. And when we die, our bodies are placed in the grave, and our spirits are made perfect in holiness and ascend into heaven to be with the Lord. But what happens then? Christ comes a second time in glory. At the last trumpet, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. There will be a reuniting of body and soul, and our bodies will be made perfect in holiness. Our bodies will become imperishable bodies fit for heaven. You see, in the present life, our bodies are perishable. We are subject to illness and disease. We are subject to accidents. We are subject to aging and the aging process. But all that will come to an end. All that will change when Christ comes a second time in glory. And these bodies which are mortal will become immortal. That which is perishable, that is, these perishable bodies, will become imperishable. And we will be changed. This is the great hope of the Christian, the resurrection. And at that time, all disease will be overcome. The last enemy is death. And what is disease and illness? It is incipient death. And when death is overcome finally, all disease and illness will be overcome, and all pain will be overcome. This is, in fact, what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Listen to this wonderful picture portrayed in the book of Revelation. Verse 3 and verse 4 in Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. There will no longer be any death. And if disease and illness is incipient death, then all disease and all illness will be something that will vanish. It will be done away with. And as a result, there will be no more mourning or crying or pain. There will be no more pain from a bad hip or a bad knee or a bad shoulder. There will be no more pain from appendicitis. There will be no more pain from various other maladies and diseases. There will be no more pain because of an accident. All of this will be in the past. It will be done away with. And this is the case because Jesus Christ, as Isaiah says, Jesus Christ surely bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, and by his scourging we are healed. This is the wonderful prospect that we have. And so there's a relationship, you see, between sin and death. The wages of sin is death. We know this is the case. And if disease is incipient death, then somehow there's a relationship between disease and sin. And that relationship is that we live in a fallen, sinful world. And as a result of that, we experience colds. We experience earaches. We experience tonsillitis. We have bad eyes. And some people have to walk on crutches and use a walker. All of these things are a reality in this life because we live in a fallen, sinful world. But Jesus Christ bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. And by his stripes, we are healed. And we know this is the case because ultimately, when Jesus Christ comes a second time in glory and the dead are raised, disease and illness will be something of the past. This is the will of God for you and me. Now, this brings us to a crucial question, does it not? Should we pray for individuals who are languishing in the hospital because they're suffering from a dread disease or have broken bones or have some other difficulty? Should we pray for such individuals? Yes, we should. John tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that if we ask anything in accordance with the will of God, it will be given to us. Now, what we have to realize is that when we pray for the healing of individuals, which is the ultimate will of God for every believer, that they be healed and be healed completely, the caveat is we don't know the timing. As I said already, God may give us a token of the future in this present life by healing us of a malady. That may be the case. Praise God when he does this. So you and I ought to pray for the healing of men and women and of young people and of children. And ultimately, we are healed when we enter heaven. Our souls are completely healed of the consequences of sin. And when Christ comes a second time in glory and we experience the resurrection and the reuniting of soul and spirit, we will be healed of every malady. Every consequence of sin will be ours no more. Praise God that this is the case. So I say to you, yes, pray. Pray earnestly for the healing of men and women and young people and children. Prayer is one of the means whereby God brings about his ends for people like us. And so your prayers are utilized by God as a means to bring about healing in this life, if that is God's will. And that's part of God's secret will. But his revealed will is that ultimately healing will take place, and your prayers are part of the means that God uses to bring about healing in the resurrection. So pray diligently for the healing of your friends. And remember this, the Bible teaches us that there is a relationship between sin and death, and that disease and illness is incipient death. What is the answer to sin? And what is the answer to death? Oh, the correct answer would be, or the correct question would be, who is the answer to sin? Who is the answer to death? Jesus Christ is the answer to sin and death. And Jesus Christ is the answer to incipient death, which is illness and disease. So, when you're sick and when you're ill, or when a family member is sick or ill, pray. It is God's will, either in this life or in the life to come, that your family member will indeed be healed. Thanks for listening.